Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
And we're into extra time.
Hello and welcome to Extra Time. I'm Sally Murphy. First up this week, the Warriors not only have the pressure of making it to the top eight when they take on the Penrith Panthers in Auckland tonight, but giving star player Manu Vatuve, known as the Beast, a good send-off. The winger, who has been at the club since 2004, has been released from his contract and will link up with Salford in the English Super League. Warriors boss Jim Doyle says Vatuve sits alongside legends like Stacey Jones and Simon Mannering, so it's sad to see him go.
I mean, Manu was always going to be tough. I mean, it was a very emotional discussions. Whether he stayed to the end of next year and then retired, that was going to be a tough, you know, end anyway. So I say that to Manu, you know, sort of over a week ago. You know, it's going to be an emotional ride once we announce it to everybody. And it's going to be very, very difficult because he's a very emotional person and he pulls on the heartstrings of everybody. You know, I mean, it took him, I don't know, probably took him an hour to do a 5-minute video yesterday with the tears and things like that. And he'll be like that all week. So, it was very, very difficult.
Can you put into words just what he's done for this club over the last 13 years?
I think, I mean, the word legend's used and thrown around quite a lot. But, you know, if it sticks on some people, Manu's definitely one of them. You know, when I came here a couple of years ago, one of the things that I did was to look to introduce the organisation's values. And I actually sent out a document to about 300 people, and they all responded and asked them the question, who are the top three or four players from your history, from a Warriors point of view? And the people that came back, there was five players that stood out from everybody, and one of them was Manu. You know, Stacey Jones, Ruben Wickie, Michael Luck, and Simon Mannering. But Manu was one of those, and we use him in a lot of the stuff that we've done in regards to our values. So,
what's the plan to honour him on Friday?
We've got quite a lot of things. Firstly was to make an announcement yesterday so that we give as many of our fans and his fans the opportunity to come along on Friday night. We'll obviously change the name of the stadium. We've got lots of things getting stuck over where it says Mount Smart. It'll be Manu Vatuve Stadium for the night. Obviously we've got a lot of things planned for the big screen. All the boys will warm up in Vatuve t-shirts, and they'll file them out to the crowd and things.
Manu Vatuve, who has only played 53 minutes this season, says he's looking forward to a fresh start, but leaving the Warriors was one of the hardest decisions he's ever had to make.
Has there been one game or one moment that stuck out in your career with the Warriors?
No, not really. I think all the games has been a memorable one for myself. I can't put a finger on one of them. But, you know, I can always say that my first game will be the memorable one that I'll remember. It's a little bit of a blur, but I can just remember taking my first run and stuff, so yeah.
Manu, the term club legend's been thrown around. How does that sit with someone like yourself?
Well, to be honest, I hardly think I'm a club legend, with the likes of Stacey and all that. I'm just blessed and lucky enough to have survived this long at one club and to keep doing what I love to do. And now I just got to hand it over to the young boys, and I know Ken and all that are doing really well at the moment, and I'm really proud of the person, the players they've become, and I know they'll grow to be legends in the game too. So, you know, I'm just happy that, you know, I've played a bit of a part in their development, and, you know, hopefully they can continue that.
Mount Smart Stadium is going to be called Manu Vatuve Stadium on Friday night. Does that kind of start to hit home, the sort of impact you have had on the club? Because many players come and go, but not many get that sort of honour.
Yeah, definitely. It's gonna be like, Now it's going to be really, really special for myself, not just only for myself, but for my family and just all the hard work they've put into me to become the player that I am and the person that I am. Will be really special, and you know, it's just going to be really emotional for myself to on the day, but now I'm just going to take every moment and cherish every moment.
How would you feel about a Manu Bhatavai statue outside?
nah. I wouldn't do that. No one would want to come to the game. Nah, I never want to do that.
Bhatavai will fly out to England on Sunday to meet with Salford players and finalise paperwork. And Jim Doyle says obviously Manu leaving gives more money in the coffers for next season, but it's still unclear how much that cap will be. The British and Irish Lions tour has come to an end, and the All Blacks have copped some heat for the drawn series. I asked our rugby expert Joe Porter if he thinks the All Blacks have lost their spark.
I don't think so. It was a unique set of circumstances, this Lions tour. The red card in the second match obviously turning it on its head when the All Blacks looked like they would run away with it. And the Lions producing some really committed and, I guess, powerful defence and sticking to their guns and their game plan and their strengths and doing it really well. And the All Blacks perhaps in that last game feeling the pressure of the occasion and letting that fantastic Lions support base, which was at least half of Eden Park, get to them. And some of those situations when perhaps patience was called for, Beauden Barrett missing a few kicks. Of course, a contentious refereeing decision as well didn't help the All Blacks. So, no, I don't think they've lost their spark. The Lions, in my mind, would be the second best team in world rugby now, perhaps bar England. So, a good test for the All Blacks. A few things didn't go their way, and the Lions managed to scrape through on some passion, some pride, and some committed rush defence to get a series draw. So, well-deserved. I don't think that Lions, any credit should be taken away from them, but I wouldn't be too worried as an All Blacks fan. Of course, Ben Smith and Sonny Bill Williams and Ryan Crotty out injured amongst others. There was a few things that didn't go their way, bounce of the ball wise.
And back to Super Rugby this week. Obviously, the Crusaders Hurricanes is the big game this weekend. What do you reckon is going to happen?
Unfortunately, as a Hurricanes fan and as defending champions, I think the Crusaders will repeat their performance earlier this season and beat the Hurricanes. It is in Wellington, so that'll give the Hurricanes a better chance. And I guess neither the side has a hell of a lot of momentum, perhaps the Hurricanes more, because they've played the Lions more recently and managed to pull off a pretty exciting comeback draw. So, yeah, all on the line for the Crusaders. They need to win to guarantee they get top spot and maintain home advantage throughout the playoffs. The Hurricanes, well, the picture's a little less clear for them. If they win, it doesn't necessarily mean much, but it could affect, I guess, where they go during the playoffs. They won't be at home, but they may go to Canberra next week or to South Africa. I guess they'd probably prefer to stay closer to home and only go to Australia. So, you know, there is a lot on the line here, and most of all, winning momentum heading into the playoffs is crucial. So, should be a cracker of a match. Of course, all five New Zealand sides are in action this weekend. The Blues are completely out of contention for the running. They're playing for pride and seeing off a few of their veterans. Charlie Faamuina, senior All Black, is one of them. The Chiefs, on the other hand, they play overseas as well, and they, again, in the same situation as the Hurricanes and the Highlanders, where it doesn't necessarily matter where they finish. They're guaranteed a playoff spot. It'll just affect where they go. I guess it's hard for the teams to know exactly what's on the line other than the Crusaders, but like I say, you want to get winning momentum going into the playoffs, and all five New Zealand Kiwi sides will be looking to do that, and of course the Blues to finish their season on a high.
New Zealand tennis player Michael Venus's run at Wimbledon has come to an end. Venus bowed out in the quarterfinals of the doubles after he and his American partner Ryan Harrison were beaten by the top seeds. However, the six-seeded Venus and Harrison didn't go down without a fight, forcing the match to five sets. They went into Wimbledon having won the French Open doubles, and Venus told our Wimbledon reporter David Luddy that while disappointed at the result, they can't be too down on themselves.
They're obviously ranked 1 and 2 in the world, I think, and playing great level, so we knew we were going to have to play well. We fought off some break points that they had in our service games and managed to hang in there and gave ourselves some chances in the fourth set. Had three break points to serve for the match. Unfortunately, didn't get it, but then bounced back and had a match point in the tiebreaker and unfortunately didn't get that point. And then credit to them, they picked it up in the fifth set and played some good points and then loosened up and ran away with it.
The match was really split into two because it was at one set all. Then the old rain came, because it always rains here in London, as you know. Did that make a difference?
It gave Ryan and I to to speak to his coach a little bit and reflect on some things that were working and maybe not and make some adjustments. But in the same time, I think they did the same thing. So then, it was back to trying to figure out, you know, the game plans and trying to make adjustments throughout. So I thought it was a good quality match. Obviously disappointing to be on the losing end, but, you know, quarterfinals at Wimbledon have never been this far before. So excited and looking forward to the future.
And how difficult is it switching from the clay of Paris to the grass of Wimbledon? Does that really affect doubles play? Because it obviously affects the singles players, but does it affect the doubles players?
Yeah, I think it's similar. Everyone has to make the adjustments. You know, the ball's coming through a bit faster and staying a bit lower. So some teams potentially like more time on the clay, don't have that time on the grass. But everyone's in the same boat and you have the same amount of time. So you just make the adjustments with your game necessary and try and make the best of it.
How do you reflect then on Wimbledon generally this year?
Definitely been a great week and a half. Just before the tournament, a couple of days before we played, I was sick and wasn't feeling great. So I spent a couple of days in bed. So if you'd told me then we would have made the quarterfinals and had a match point to be in the semifinals, I probably wouldn't have believed it. Disappointed we didn't win today, but, you know, achieved a bit of a personal thing, obviously going further than the third round to the quarterfinals. So, you know, continuing to build and just got to keep doing those things and hopefully next year maybe can go a little bit further.
World heavyweight boxing champ Joseph Parker and champion shot putter Dame Valerie Adams have both played key roles in preparing New Zealand athletes for the Youth Commonwealth Games in the Bahamas next week. Parker's cousin Leah Fruin is keeping with family tradition and will fight in the ring, while discus thrower Connor Bell has been getting some wisdom and advice from Dame Val. I went out and met the medal hopefuls. You could feel the nerves and anticipation in the air as some of the 34 athletes heading to the Youth Commonwealth Games met each other for the first time today. One of them, 16-year-old Palia Fruin, started boxing at the age of 12 when her big cousin, Joseph Parker, started teaching her.
He taught me the basics. Like, that was my start-up with boxing with him, yeah.
And what have you learned from him?
Self-belief, I guess, yeah. And, you know, the jab and all that. I guess wanting to be the best that I can and wanting to perform well. Like, I know all boxers go through that stage of, like, wanting to get gold, but, you know, I guess we're all kind of in it to win it, so yeah.
The hard work has paid off. She packs a good punch. Palia wakes up at 6:30 every morning and goes for a run and then spars during lunchtime and trains again after school. She says she's just eager to get into the ring.
Never really know who our opponent's going to be, but I'm excited for the different styles. Favourite part about boxing is meeting the new people, experiencing, you know, going to different countries and, you know, just growing as a boxer as well as a person overall.
Another athlete to watch out for at the Games is Connor Bell, a 16-year-old discus thrower from Auckland.
I first started throwing at the end of Year 8 at a school event. I picked up the discus for a school athletics day and I threw it and I did quite well. And ever since then I've never looked back really.
Your mum said you like to watch YouTube videos and practice, yes, in the lounge. Is that true?
Yes, that is true. I've worn patches on the carpet. I spend a lot of time analysing discus throwers, international discus throwers, discus legends and their technique and how they throw.
Bell, who throws about 64 metres on average, has been training under Olympic gold medalist Valerie Adams.
At the start, it felt like I was in the presence of a legend, a living legend. I really, really thoroughly enjoyed it. I've learned a lot from Val. I've learned to develop trust in the process so I can get the best result I can.
Standing at 6'2" and weighing 104 kilos, Val is a tad bigger than your average 16-year-old. His mum Jeanette attributes his country upbringing for that.
He's a decent-sized lad.
It must cost a bit to feed him. What does he eat in a day?
Surprisingly, not as much as you'd think. We live on a lifestyle block, so lots of really healthy, nutritious stuff. Like, we do home-cooked beef and free-range eggs and lots of fruit and veggies. Pretty good basic country food, but lots of it.
Connor and Leah will leave for the Bahamas tomorrow with 32 other athletes who will take part in beach volleyball, swimming, boxing, cycling, throwing and athletics. The games run from July 18th to the 23rd. Netball New Zealand is refusing to panic over the departure of yet another experienced player to the Australian competition. Former Silver Fern Catherine Tuivasa will join former international teammates Liana De Bruin and Laura Langman in playing across the Tasman next year. The Southern Steel shooter, Jamaican international Janelle Fowler-Reed, is also moving to Australia, leaving the competition here shorn of experience. But Netball New Zealand's high-performance manager, Keir Hansen, told sports editor Steve Hewson they won't be changing their approach.
Now, it's not panic stations. We're working on making sure that the priority athletes, which are our Silver Ferns, stay here in New Zealand and are part of our competition so they can be part of the Silver Ferns. And that's our priority.
Must be a concern, though, when you lose that experience and what they can pass on to younger players. You don't, I would have thought, want a competition that's simply full of young players.
No, you're right. You want a balance across all your squads of experience, youth, and a little bit in between. We've still got there. We've got likes of Casey and Anna Harrison and Anna Thompson and Wendy Frew and Katrina, who will be part of our comp next year. So we're still happy that there'll be the experience there to help nurture our young talent.
Maria Tutaia, is she still going to be around?
Yeah, and Maria as well.
Because the approach you've taken so very, well, vastly different, isn't it, from Australia with their unlimited import rule?
Yeah, that's right. When we set up this competition, had a clear strategy around ensuring it was a pathway to the Silver Ferns as well as a great elite competition. And so we only have one international player in each team if they choose to utilise the import spot. So that keeps our pathway open for young New Zealand talent to come into the competition and grow through the competition. And, Australia have taken a slightly different approach. They've got an unlimited import rule, which creates a slightly different dynamic for them. But we're really happy with our strategy.
These players going, does it force a rethink from Netball New Zealand on that approach?
Not at this stage.
Janelle Fowler-Reed, I mean, she had a huge impact on the domestic competition this year. In a sense, is it maybe not a bad thing that she's going because one player dominated the competition so much?
Well, look, I think a player as good as Janelle adds value to a competition, but like I said before, we're about freeing up our pathway and ensuring there's a pathway for New Zealand athletes. And so if we can get a young New Zealand shooter like Alia Dunn or one of the other young ones coming through the system down there into that spot and developing and growing through the competition, then that's a good thing for netball in New Zealand.
When I suppose the test series roll around, it's going to be quite a test of the competitions, not only of the Silver Ferns versus the Diamonds, for example, but it puts those two competitions together too, doesn't it, as to who's maybe taken the right approach?
To a point, but it's also a long-term strategy as well. So it'll take time for the different approaches to play out and times for the different competitions to bed in, and we've got to play a long game here as well.
Netball New Zealand High Performance Manager Keir Hansen talking to sports editor Stephen Hewson. The national swim team is hoping for some top place finishes at the FINA World Championships, which begin in Hungary today. New Zealand has not had the best track record in the World Champs. Lauren Boyle placed second in two races last year and nabbed three third places in 2013. But before then, a New Zealand swimmer had not been in the top three since 1994. Coach Jerry Oshieski, who started with the team earlier this year, says the 11 swimmers competing have trained hard.
We'll see results. You know, it's been a process changing the culture, you know, so that, you know, we'll have good results through the next 4 years.
What did you have to do to change that culture?
Well, we're trying to build a culture of, you know, hard work, teamwork, those types of things that, you know, are long-term in terms of results for the whole national team and for the country, and to set an example for all the kids that are coming through in the next years to come.
And how important are championships like these for these swimmers in the build-up to other things like Olympics and Commonwealth Games?
They're a real good measure to see where we're at in terms of our training, in terms of, you know, if we're doing the right things, what needs to be changed in the future. You know, it is a world championship. Everybody will be there. Everybody will be on point.
What is the competition like?
Well, you know, it's the best kids in the world, obviously. And it's the first pinnacle meet after the Olympics.
Are there any sort of standouts within this team for you?
Well, obviously, Bradley Ashby has been training very well. Helena Gasson is training here at the High Performance Center. And we should see pretty good results all the way through. Everybody's had a good 3 months of preparation after the Opens. So we're expecting a good turnout.
And obviously they're all quite young and very fit. How much is the mentality side of it going into competitions like this?
It's huge. You know, you look at 2016 and the build-up and all the fast swimming that was going on. And then at the Olympics, you saw certain individuals really step up and heads above the rest. And that's a lot of it's just mental. As everybody is, you know, as fit as possible. We have a young team. We have, I guess we have the most kids qualified since 2005. So they're pretty excited. I want to keep that excitement going and keep things relaxed. This is the first year after the Olympics, and we've got a big buildup coming up. And our goal is to every year have more kids make this pinnacle, a pinnacle meet like this, and then be ready for our Olympic trials and then going into the games.
Jerry Oshieski. And that wraps up Extra Time for another week. Have a good one.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.